Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson, and I hope everyone is having a wonderful week thus far. I know I'm here in North Carolina. It's been really nice, balmy couple of days, even with a little bit of cloud. So I am, like, all ready for spring and whatnot. So I hope that wherever you are, you too are having some good weather and enjoying the day. My guest tonight, I hope everybody is comfortable, because my guest tonight is just a wonderful, fascinating woman. She has been writing since she was old enough to put pen to paper, and firmly believes that for her, writing is as necessary as breathing. Her first novel, Take Me to Heart, earned her a 2004 Romance Slam Jam nomination for Best New Author. In 2008, she won the RT Book Review Magazine's Reviewer's Choice Award for Best Series Romance for her ninth novel, Tame a Wild Stallion. Her publication, Craving Temptation, was named one of Publisher Weekly's best books for 2014, and was also nominated for a 2015 Emma Award for Book of the Year, as well as her novel Playing for Keeps, was a Library Journal Best of 2015 and won RT Book Review Magazine's Reviewer's Choice Award for Best Multicultural Romance. So she is no stranger to adoring fans and wonderful accolades. And she's actually here in North Carolina, so she's in my neck of the woods. So though she was raised in Fairfield County, Connecticut, as she says, home is wherever the moment moves her. So it is my pleasure to welcome wonderful, talented, amazing author and friend of mine, Deborah Fletcher Mello, to the show tonight. Welcome, Deborah.
Lisa, hello, and thank you so much for having me. And that kind of introduction, I'm just overwhelmed.
Well, thank you. It is definitely wonderful to have you here. Let's just jump right in, because I know by the time we get chatting, the next thing you know, the show will be over. So let's start with the fact that, you have a lot of experience and a lot of careers. And just when I was reading your bio, I'm like, what can't this woman do? And I know you, so I'm sure all the things that you do well. So when did you realize it was kind of time to trade in corporate America, follow your passion, and write that novel?
I think I've always known that I wanted to write, even as I was going through my corporate experiences. But as things happened, life got in the way, and there were children that needed to be fed and bills that had to be paid. And then one day, one of my dearest friends, we'd been friends since the third grade, she said to me that if I didn't try, I would always regret not knowing if I could have succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled together all my little short stories and my little pages here and pages there, and I actually just stepped out on faith and started writing. I didn't have a computer, so I was writing in longhand and then transcribing it on my computer at one of those corporate jobs whenever I could sneak a break. And then before I knew it, one day I actually had a finished novel, and it surprised even me.
Wow. And, I've had the pleasure of knowing you for quite a few years now, and I've also been able to meet several members of your family. So
yes.
When you told them you kind of wanted to pursue a writing career, did they kind of say, are you sure? Or was it more like, girl, what took you so long?
Well, I can tell you, my parents are very traditional and very old school. And they both wanted me to go into a profession that would leave me with a solid retirement package.
Right.
You know, my mother said nursing. My father said, have you thought about teaching? You know. And even in my corporate endeavors, they were very proud of my achievements, but they couldn't fathom me having a future in writing. And my father definitely didn't see anything good about me writing. But when my very first book was released, Daddy purchased 3 cases of books.
Oh, my God.
And he drove around town giving them away to friends and acquaintances and strangers. And he was like, well, if you're going to do this, we're going to help you do it. And hopefully you'll be able to make something out of it. So, you know, they've been my biggest supporters.
It is so funny that you mentioned that about, I mean, that's truly old school parents, because old school parents are all, well, they know from, you know, their experience, probably with their parents as well, everything was always, okay, don't rock the boat on that government job, or you make sure you got that pension, you know, you got your retirement fund. And we're trying to
tell
mom, stuff doesn't work like that anymore. They don't really have 401ks for, you know, all the time, and they don't really have retirement. And yes, you can job hop without, you know, anything detrimental happening, like the seas parting and stuff. Because as soon as you say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go look for a job elsewhere, I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to go do that, they're like, ooh, wait now. Are you sure? Because, you know, that job you have is pretty solid.
Yes, I've been there.
So, Deborah, tell us a little bit about your latest novel, Guilty Pleasures, and about those bad boys of Boulder.
Oh, love Guilty Pleasures. The bad boys are twin brothers, Alexander and Zachary Barrett. Alexander is a former NBA player, and Zachary is the current MMA title holder. The two men have been competitive since birth, and they take their sibling rivalry to a whole other level. When Guilty Pleasures opens, the two have been estranged for a number of years as Zachary married his brother's college sweetheart, which did not go over well. But now he has showed up on the day of Alexander opening his new state-of-the-art gym, and he has come with his best friend, a former Miss Thailand named Soraya Montri, and twin brother Alexander is instantly attracted to her. So the two brothers are challenged to rebuild their relationship and resolve their problems, but suddenly there's another woman thrown into the mix.
Now, I'm always drawn to relationships between characters. So did Alexander and Zach kind of have a tenuous relationship growing up, or as twins were they kind of copacetic, or was it, you know, did the stuff hit the fan just when kind of like the romance situation entered the picture between them?
No, these two have been competitive since they were born, and as competitive as boys and men are naturally. For them, it didn't help that they have a father who often pitted them against each other. Truly
stoked
believing
that fire.
That sibling rivalry was a good thing for them.
What's a resounding theme, Deborah, that kind of can be found in any one of your novels?
I love writing about the dynamics between family members, and I believe that the foundation for any successful relationship is grounded in those values that are developed within a strong family unit. So you will always find a resilient familial bond in all of my novels.
Nice. Has there ever been for you a sage piece of advice you kind of received over the years, either from a friend or a family member or fellow author, that kind of just stayed with you?
As a little girl, my late grandmother would often tell me that no matter what I chose to do, to make sure I did it well. And I remember her giving her one of my first books, and she kind of flipped through the pages, and then she said, this is good, but you know the next one has to be better. So always work hard to make sure you make that happen. Each time you just have to do your best to do better. And it was advice that resonated on many levels in my life, both professionally and personally, that no matter what my accomplishments are, the next one needs to be even better.
So she was all about the keep that bar raised and, you know.
Most definitely.
Don't
most
let it
definitely.
Slack off at all.
And in her wise wisdom, if that didn't work out for you, marry an ugly man.
Or as your parents
she
say, or get a government
an
job.
An ugly man would always take care of you.
Yeah. Or an ugly man with a government job is win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
Now, about the Bad Boys of Boulder series, tell us a little bit more about that series and what book number is Guilty Pleasures in that Bad Boys of Boulder series?
Guilty Pleasures is actually the very first book, and it is only a two-book series.
Okay.
I follow up Alexander's story with Brother Zachary's story in October. His book is called Perfect Pleasures, and I think it will show how distinctly different the two brothers truly are. Zachary has to work a little harder to be as likable as his twin is.
Now, you always have the best titles for your books. Do you kind of come up with the title before the story or after it? And do you kind of like always come up with your own titles or how does that work out?
No, I actually don't always come up with the titles to my own stories. I have a great collective of editors who work with me. I typically have a working title that we start with, and then the final title eventually evolves from something that I've written in the story, or something about the story, kind of a joint back and forth until something just kind of rings for us.
Clicks, yeah. Now, before we get wrapped up hearing more from award-winning and best-selling author Deborah Fletcher Mello, I'd like to let listeners know our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there. If you hurry, you can call us at 646-200-4071. If you have a question you'd like to pose to Deborah after the live show, you can check out the recap blog and podcast on readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that want to learn more about Deborah as we're chatting with her, you can check out her website at Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A, Mello, M-E-L-L-O, .blogspot.com. So, Deborah, what's one thing you do the moment you've wrapped up on a deadline?
At least lately, once I wrap one book, I have to immediately start on another. So there's not much that I really get to do. I had six books released last year. There will be almost that many this year and that many next year. So I am constantly writing. But to reward myself, I buy a pair of shoes. I love shoes. So, you know, a sexy stiletto is my guilty pleasure. So, you know, my husband always knows when a book is done because there's a new pair of shoes sitting in the living room.
He's like, oh, book's done.
Book's done, exactly.
Now, it's funny because the next question I'm going to ask you is one I ask every author that comes on the show. What is clearly one thing you've got to have while you're writing and why?
Music. I have to have music when I'm writing. There's something about either a genre of music or a certain musician that clicks with each of my stories or the characters. The Bad Boy series had me listening to a lot of sultry female artists, Joss Stone, Heather Headley, Macy Gray, Tracy Chapman. When I was writing my sultry Southern Nights series that came out last year, I listened to nothing but jazz music since that kind of centered around jazz. So it varies from book to book or character to character, but I have to have that music.
Now, it's funny because when you were talking about the stilettos, I remember an author that was on the show, and her one thing that she had to have while writing was her 6-inch stiletto heels on. And she's like, I've got to have my shoes on. I have got to have my apple martini. and then I know it's time to get down.
I don't know that I can write in my stilettos. Typically, I'm bare feet in pajamas.
I know, because when I sat down at my desk just now, that's the first thing that flew off was my shoes. And I'm like, ah, okay,
exactly.
I'm comfy now.
Exactly.
Now, you know, your readers are crazy in love with the stallion. So can you introduce listeners to them and tell us a little bit more about them and what they're like?
The Stallions. The Stallion
family.
You
can't even
is...
say it without putting that little fur on there. You're like, the Stallions.
You know, there is something about the family. They are actually my very first series. It started with four brothers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mm. They are powerhouse billionaires out of Dallas, Texas, who were actually raised themselves and were raised by the older brother, John, after the untimely death of their parents. Later on, as they go on, they discover that they have a sister, Phaedra, who rolled us into the Boudreaux family series. And last year, I introduced a new branch of the Stallion family, cousins out of Utah, adding to their family tree. So now we've got Noah, Naomi, Nicholas, Nathaniel, and Natalie.
So
but
readers
the,
are
the
definitely,
stallions
I know,
are,
they are like, yay! More stallions!
Yeah, they are just sexy, homegrown, down-to-earth, strong faith in God. Just I love everything about the stallions.
Now, which do you prefer when you've got the time, movies or a book?
I don't, but I can say that I have a preference. I'm a ferocious reader. I love to read, have always been a reader. But I also have I'm obsessed with movies. I'm a movie fanatic. My husband and I actually used to own a small chain of video stores back in the day.
Oh, neat.
So we watched.
I can't even imagine what that was like. It's like, yes, I love my job. It's like a job hazard. It's like, just surrounded by movies. Oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine.
It really was. You know, my second dream job. It couldn't get any better than that.
Now, for those of you just tuning in, I am speaking with award-winning and best-selling author Deborah Fletcher Mello about her latest novel, Guilty Pleasures. That's book one in the Bad Boys of Boulder series. So, Deborah, are you kind of where you saw yourself or where you thought you'd be in your career? And if not, what's kind of one of the goals that you kind of set for yourself?
I'm actually blessed to be doing what I love. I believe that there's always room for growth, and I aspire to keep doing better, doing more. I set many goals. I've made national best-selling author. I've been an award-winning author. Now I'm aspiring to the New York Times best-selling list. I'd love to see my stories on the big screen. I want to try my hand at screenwriting maybe. So who knows?
Right.
Am I where I want to be or where? I just know that there's still so much more for me to attempt and try. And I just love to tell a good story. So I just want to keep doing that.
And you do it very well, I must say. So
well, thank you.
What's one thing, Deborah, about being an author that you kind of didn't bargain for?
The amount of time it takes to market myself and my books. I think with many, many authors, we have these illusions of grandeur that we'd be picked up by the publisher and, you know, there'd be this whole marketing team and, you know, we just hand them the manuscript and go about our merry way.
Right.
The book would sell.
You just call
and,
me when I get bestseller.
Exactly. You know, just keep the checks rolling in. And suddenly you discover, well, that's not how it works. And, you know, especially today with technology. Do you have Twitter? Do you have Instagram? What are you doing? How are you doing?
And there's so many. It's like every time I look around, it's like another platform. And, my kids are looking at me. I have teenage kids, and they're looking at me like, Mom, keep up. Nobody's on that one anymore. And I'm like, what? I just got here. It's like every time, adults get to a platform, the kids are like, poof, been there, done that,
Been there, done that.
I think they do that on purpose.
Exactly. I am in awe. I'm just in awe of the amount of time that it takes out of a day, a week, a year even, just to do everything that needs to be done.
And that's, that's just that piece of it. That's not if you're doing a lot of touring around, if you're going to different places and events. And I think I agree with you. That was one thing that was a crash course when I first got, wrote my first book. I just assumed, we're just all excited to get a book deal. And it's like you just assume, they're going to do the marketing and, I'm just going to be over here writing. And they're like, here's your book. Off you go. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Exactly. For the most part, I'm relatively shy. So, when I discovered that I actually had to be the face of my own books, it was like, what?
Right.
How do I manage that? Yeah, it's been an interesting experience.
Now, is there another genre that you think you'd like to write in? And if so, what?
Actually, right now, trying my hand at writing mystery. I'm looking to do a self-published series about a detective that's becoming an interesting challenge to me. I think I'd like to do a little mystery, a little bit more suspense kind of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there times, Deborah, when maybe a secondary character kind of decides they are going to become a little bit larger than life and, they want to take center stage? And if so, how do you handle that? Promises of a book, or do you tell them, hey, y'all need to settle down, I'll get to your story as soon as I can, off you go back into the secondary character status? So how does that work?
Well, it varies from book to book, but there's always a secondary character that seems to be lingering in the background, who suddenly midway through wants to start shouting, I'm over here. in my book, Craving Temptations, I have a Muslim heroine who has a baby sister who is desperately yearning for a story. And I keep telling her, one day maybe, and she kind of keeps creeping into my head at the most inopportune times. When I did Playing for Keeps, there was a best friend, Bianca Torres, who actually managed to get her story. I did a Christmas novella with Celeste Norfleet and Regina Hart last year. So she got lucky. She got lucky. But it happens all the time. Someone's brother, cousin, friend, desperate for a little attention.
Now, for those of you that may have just tuned in, I am speaking with award-winning and best-selling author Deborah Fletcher Mello about her latest novel, Guilty Pleasures, from the Bad Boys of Boulder series. So, Deborah, you've gone to plenty of writers' conventions, and Lord knows I've seen you and you see me at quite a few of them. What's one of your favorite things about attending, like, a writers' convention or a literary event?
Hands down, it is interacting with readers and getting an opportunity to sit down and talk with them as well as my author friends, who we usually only get to interact online and via telephone or when we meet each other at these conferences. So that opportunity to actually engage with people one-on-one is just the best. As you know, writing is a very solitary endeavor. And we spend hours secluded behind closed doors sometimes, and you know, it's just ourselves and some crazy people in our heads. So we had that opportunity to talk with readers who connected with those characters, you know, who have opinions about what we've written and how we've written it. I think those are the best moments for me.
Absolutely. Now, you spearheaded an amazing event that we were chatting about before the show started, the Diamonds Literary Tea last month. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to kind of talk to you about it because I was kind of just in awe and just like walking around with my mouth hanging out. But what made you want to do it? And were there kind of ever moments when you said, whose idea was this again?
I've always, in the back of my mind, known that there's something I wanted to do as an author for my readers and my fans. And, you know, you kind of see what other authors are doing, and everyone seems to kind of find their own little niche and their own little event, you know, be it, a cruise or a pajama party or whatever that may be. I, as a little girl, my grandmother used to play tea party with me. And it started when I was very little and expanded well into my teens where, you know, she'd set an elaborate table and we'd get all dressed up and we would actually talk books. So that, for me, is how that literary tea party evolved. I just wanted others to experience that same thing that I got to experience with her, talking about my favorite stories and, in this case, being able to interact with the authors of those stories.
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Now, I was going to say one thing that I noticed when I was there is just, you know, for people that had never been to a tea before, you could just kind of, as they walked in, you could kind of see and feel their excitement, their happiness to be there. The, you know, Lord knows I love me some tea, but, you know, it's just awesome to be able to sit there and pick out your teas. And everyone was just so beautiful and, you know, dressed in the hats to the nines and stuff. So, you know, as an author, it was an amazing, amazing event, and I was so blessed to be a part of that. And, you know, also I could tell as readers, I mean, you could just see a lot of them were just bubbling over with excitement, and they had driven, y'all. I mean, driven some from Atlanta and some from this place, some from that place. So, you know, it was just a really wonderful, warm event, and I know you just must have been just over the moon with the feedback that I'm sure you received from that, from your fans and from your street team and from the authors and everybody.
I was, and thank you so much for saying that, because there were some moments I wasn't quite sure we were going to pull off the vision that I had. And I have to give credit where credit is due. I had an amazing team of women who worked with me to pull that event together. My street team, Deborah's Diamonds, they are just 12 incredible women who volunteer their time to help promote my books, to help promote me, to help me at events. And you saw them front and center at the literary party, just stepping in to help the authors, help the guests, to do whatever needed to be done. They were amazing. As well, I have to give credit to my party planner, Jacqueline Becker of Parties by Jax. Jacqueline is an old friend. We worked together many, many years ago. And once I told her what I wanted and how I envisioned seeing the entire day unfold, she just took that and ran with it, from decorations to it was just overwhelmingly amazing and incredible, and it just made my heart sing.
Yeah, I mean, it made a lot of hearts sing. I mean, it was just amazing. And so, how about next year? Are you kind of in the works with planning? Are you going to have one next year? What are you thinking, Deborah?
We are going to have another literary tea party next year. It's tentatively going to be in Savannah. And we are not only doing a tea party, but we are also going to have a bachelor auction that evening. And I can tell you that there's a little speakeasy 1920s kind of prohibition theme.
Nice.
And what we're going to do is celebrate women at the tea party and men that night.
All right. Well, Deborah, let listeners know how they can get in touch with you.
Definitely through my blog site, www.deborahmello.blogspot.com. Or if you Google me, I am all over the internet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. If it's to be had, I'm there.
Well, Deborah, I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's definitely been a pleasure just to have your undivided attention for, you know, a half hour. So I thank you for that.
Well, you know, Lisa, thank you so much for having me. This is always such a pleasure. You know, I look forward to these opportunities, and I appreciate when they're given to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. And I would like to thank our listeners for joining us here tonight at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. You can, again, check out Deborah's show on podcast later this evening. For those that may have missed it, definitely spread the word. Let them know. If you'd like, you can leave a comment about tonight's show. We would love to hear from you. So tune in next Thursday on Readers Entertainment Radio. My guest will be number one New York Times and international best-selling author Jennifer L. Armentrout. She's a wonderful YA author. So I am your host, Lisa Watson, saying thank you for joining me tonight. Be inspired and happy reading. Good night, Deborah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.